So the last thing that we discussed was we did discuss Rav Acha ben Ravika and some of the issues connected to that. So now let's just very quickly read through the Gemara in Gimel Amud Aleph, Gimel Amud Beis, and I want to speak mostly about Bez Nota. I'll make one quick or two quick comments about the Knas issue, which is a very big topic. But the Gemara here says on Gimel Amud Aleph that Nezek b'chatzi Nezek. The Gemara says Nezek haynu chavalos. Why are we repeating Nezek? We had Gzelus v'chavalos. And Nezek is already, you know, included in chavalos, which is interesting, and we're not going to go into that right now. But as we already discussed, there is a difference between real Nezek and chavalos, in the sense that chavalos are more connected to a maisavera, and it's harder to put a monetary value on Nezek, obviously. I'm sorry, on Chavala. And the Rambam has very specific view on this matters, both in Perakei Hilchos Sanhedrin and Perakei Hilchos Chavala Mazik, where the Rambam really, in some respects, thinks that all of the consequences of Chavala, Chavu b'chaver chai b'shum chamisha devarim, b'nezek b'tzar b'ripui b'sheva su b'boshes, you pay a nezek, and you pay also a certain amount for, you know, if you could put a price on the pain that you inflicted. And then, of course, the doctor's bills, and then the lost, work hours, and, of course, the boshes as well. So, but the Rambam's view is that all of these, in some respect, are kind of a knas. We saw the Rambam, not in this context, but in the previous discussion that we had. We were talking about Rav Acha ben Ravika and the idea of a one dayan being an effective basis for hora and din, especially in hodos v'halvos. So the Rambam speaks about in Perek Hilchos Sanhedrin, one of the Rambams that I'm talking about, he says he equates knossos and chavala. So it's the fact that the Gemara here equates Nezek with Chavala is very important and needs to be understood better in light of Tosas on Beis Amud Aleph and Gimel Amud Aleph and some of the discussions that we've had. These different categories of Dine Mamanis, Hodos, Ravos, Xelos, V'Chavalos, Knossos, each represent a different model in obligation. As we said, Hodos, Ravos are the most quid pro quo, where you have clear cause and effect. I cause you a loss of $100. Yosher, justice, says that I should be paying you $100. All the way to the other extreme, which we're going to discuss just very, very briefly in a minute, which is knasos, where we say moda b'knas, asher yarshin alehim v'lo marshias atzmo, that a moda b'knas is potur, because the idea really is that a knas is something that doesn't really correspond to the damage, that you caused. So in between those two extremes, meaning there being an absolute and direct correlation, and there being, no correlation, seemingly, are things like chabalos and gzelos, where there's a maisavera, there would also have been the potential, and in some cases there maybe really even is, the possibility of malchus, where putting a dollar figure or a shekel figure on the impact that you have, is either ideologically or pragmatically, problematic. So when the Gemara here says what it says, it's nezek kind of chavalos. It's not such a simple matter. But either way, the Gemara says mishum dekabay lemisna chatzi nezek tananami nezek shalom, because we want to speak about knossos, and knossos include chatzi nezek. If you have a short tam and he damages, so you only pay chatzi nezek. That's a knas, as we'll see in a moment. So therefore, by mentioning chatzi nezek, we also mention nezek shalem, even though it's already covered previously in according to the Gemara in Chavalos, according to some of the Rishonim in Hodos Valvos. So then the Gemara says chatzi nezek nami hainu chavalos. But what's so unique about chatzi nezek that also should be included under the rubric of chavalos, because you have nezek shalem, and certainly if you have to pay nezek shalem, then you should also have to pay chatzi nezek. So the Gemara says, well, that kufa depends on how you understand the din of chatzi nezek. And that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Tana mamona uktani knasa. That even though chatzi nezek is just half of nezek, and therefore kol shekein, you'd actually have to pay, once you know that you pay for nezek, you certainly pay chatzi nezek. That's, you know, a superficial look at the matter. In fact, really what's happening is that one is knossos and the other is mamonos, and we need to be explicating both. So the Gemara says, Henich elamandamar palganiska knossa. Elamandamar palganiska mamona, mai ika lemeimar. Right? The Gemara says, well, that's not so simple either, because there's a debate in the Gemara in Bava Kamma, in the beginning of the Naftezvav there, second parak, discussions, whether palganiska, whether chatzinezek is a mamon or a knas. In other words, we actually paskin that palganizka is a knas. The idea is that, you know, really, actually Rashi explains, if you look at Rashi here, palganizka mamona, Rashi explains, perk arbavos pligiba, the kasavar stam shvarim nagachim heim, Umidina kula boy lishlume, the havle lemintere, brachmana hu, the chas ale. There's a debate in the Gemara whether palganiska is mamon or knas. The view that says palganiska knasa basically says that from a mamonist point of view, you shouldn't have to pay anything because you had no basis, right, to be, you know, applying excessive shmira to this animal. It didn't have a track record of being a nagchan, or the equivalent of a nagchan, I mean a dangerous animal, a violent animal. And therefore, the fact that you neglected to take extraordinary steps to rein it in, right, was understandable. So the only reason that we even charge you at all, chatzinezek, that your patrimonezek shalim is understandable, because you're an onus. The reason that you pay chatzinezek is a knas. On the other hand, the view that says palganizka, mamona, says the opposite. It says, really, you should be obligated, that's what Rashi was quoting, stam shvarim ar nagachim heim, that every ox is a goring ox, that should be the presumption, and the fact that you didn't take steps to do shmira, that is negligent, basically, and it's a special chiddush haTorah, that Rachmana Chos a Mamone, that we're not charging you the full price, we're only charging you half price. I think I mentioned last time, which was 2 weeks ago, that you know, you would think that the Mandamar holds Palganiska Knossa and the Mandamar holds Palganiska Mamona, you'd think that they're opposites, that they have opposite views of this situation. But in fact, you know, when you think about it you know, a little bit more you know, conceptually, the fact that both Palganiska Knasa and Palganiska Mamona essentially are exceptions is surely not a coincidence. In other words, even if you take the view Palganiska Mamona, all we mean by that is that there's a quid pro quo basis for charging you something. In other words, you should have been more careful, and therefore we hold you to the standard of Shmira. But in the end of the day, the fact that we don't charge you 100% given this reality still differentiates Karen from Shane and Regel, you know, and so on and so forth. So basically, there is a recognition here that even though you're responsible, you're not as negligent in the case of Karen as you are in the case of Shane and Regel, and so on, where there's no chos rachmana. By the same token, in the case of you know, palganiska knasa, on the one hand, it seems like we're saying that, you know, you're completely innocent. There was no reason for you to assume that this shor was a nagchan, right? But then, at the end of the day, you have to wonder if you're completely innocent. Why did we impose a knas of chatzi? So obviously the line between chatzi nizka knasa and chatzi nizka mamona is a very fine line, and that will explain the shita saraydin that I'm going to speak about very briefly in just a minute. Either way, the Gemara says if you hold palga nizka Knasa, at least this Gemara makes sense. Behold, Palganiska Mamona, Michael and Amar. So the Gemara says, well, I did a Kabbalah Misne, Tashume Kefa, Tashume Dalad Vehei, the Mamon, She'eno Mishtalim Miroshu, Tananami Chatzi Nezek, the Mamon, She'eno Mishtalim Biroshu. I did the Kabbalah Misne, Chatzi Nezek, Tami Nami Nezek itself, Nezek Shalom. So again, this line in the Gemara is very strange, because what's the Gemara really saying? The Gemara is saying, if you hold Palganiska Mamona, so it's a chi of Mamon, so what's it doing here, right? What's it doing with this group? It's covered already by, the Karen, the Nezek of Chavalah, which includes Nezek, and Chatzi Nezek, if Chatzi Nezek is Mamon, should be included in that as well. So listen how they, when you think about it again, take a step back. The Gemara says, well, because we want to include it together with Kefal and Dalad Behei, because like them, it's Mamon She'eno Mishtalem Barosh. It's not the exact amount. There it's double. Here it's 50%. So they're opposites, right? But they're parallel opposites. In both cases, it's not Mamon. It's not the Karen amount. It's not Mamon and Mishtalem Mirosh. So because it's not Mamon and Mishtalem Mirosh, even though in one case it's clearly beyond, right, double and triple and so on, quadruple, and in the case of Palganiska Mamona, it's 50%, right? But the combination, the common denominator of Mamon Shen and Mishtalem Mirosh is more compelling, even if you hold the Palganiska Mamona. But if you say what I said a second ago, which is that Palganiska Mamona, right, is also a kind of a knas or recognition at least, that there isn't the equal responsibility that you have. You don't have the parallel in Shane, you don't have it in Regel, you don't have it in Bor, you don't have it in Eish, right? So Dafka, in this one case, you have Chatzi Nezek. The only other Chatzi Nezek that we have in this context is something called Tsroros, which is a fascinating topic in its own right. But the idea of Tsroros is that the damage is not direct. It's, you know, it's secondhand. It's a kind of a gram Nezek. You do something which, you know, results in something else happening. So you can understand that qualitatively, the Maisa Hezek, if you will, is compromised in the case of Tsroros, and in Palganiska Knasa, in a way, it is too. So Palganiska Mamona, sorry, it is too. But the Gemara is saying that Palganiska Mamona is Mamon She'enu Mishtalim Barosh and belongs on a list with Kefal and Dalad Behei, even though it is Mamon. Okay. And certainly, it belongs on that list, certainly, if it's a Knas. Okay. So I just want to mention just, in connection with Mamon HaMishtalim Erosh, especially the interesting view of the Raibin. So if you look here, the first entry.
What kind of expression is that? Mamon She'eno Mishtalem Erosh. Can they express it simpler? Is Eino Keren?
I'm sorry?
Why do they have to go with such an expression of Eino
Mishtalem Erosh? I mean, it's not Keren.
They could say Keren.
Okay. I mean, that's... Rashi says Shem Mishalim Yosem and Akeren, V'chatzin Ezek Mishalim Pakasim and Akeren. I mean, they want to say both directions. It's not Mishalim, it's only Hainu Keren. Mishilim Oso Barosho comes from the Psukim in the Parsha of the beginning of Vayikra with the Karmanos. So it says Mishilim Oso Barosho. You can ask why does the Torah use that expression. I think the Mepharshim there speak about it a little bit more, but that's where it comes from. So, as I said, the idea that, more and less share enough of a common denominator, that they're more common than opposites, is of course very interesting. And I think in the Raibin you have both of these elements together. Now again, we pask in the Halacha, and the Raibin's comment that I'm going to talk about are according to the Mandamar, Palka Niska Knossa. Okay. But still, this relationship is an interesting one. So I just wanted to bring to your attention two Raibins that are connected to this. The first one is the Rambam and Raibin in Perek Beis Hilchos Geneva, Halacha Yud Beis. Now, what's important to know, these are certain Gemaras in Masechet Bava Kama and Perek Merubah, where the Rambam, is confronted in the Gemara with Bios Delo Ifshita Sveikos, where the Gemara ask certain questions, and they didn't come to an absolute, clear, final solution. So the Rambam is dealing with the question, well, how do we, you know, how do we deal with unresolved status when it comes to these issues, particularly Kefel and Dalet Behei? What do you do with them? Lahalacha, right? In terms of things like Motsu Michavero, Olav Araya, who, right, who is the presumptive, you know, status quo when it comes to matters like this? So the Rambam says, Gonav, the person steals, Vikata Mimena Eber, and he cuts a limb from the animal that he stole, V'yachakach Mechara, and then he sells it. This is a suffix in the Gemara. Because normally the case of Geneva, Tvicha, Mechira is when the animal is whole. But if he destroyed the animal, or he diminished the animal and then he chopped it up more, he did a Tvicha or a Mechira, that's not clear. So the Rambam is weighing in on this case, which in the Gemara is unclear. Gana v'kata menu eivar v'yachak mechara osha mechara chutz mi malachta o mechara chutz mi shloshim yom, or there's some other shiur in the Mechira, either the animal has been diminished or the Mechira is a qualified one. So the Rambam says, Ein motzi en mimenu tashlumi arba v'chamisha. It's a suffek in the Gemara, baya delo ifshita, and therefore you're not going to Ein motzi en mimenu tashlumi dalad behe. You're not going to be able to collect from the from the guy. V'im tafas hanizak. But if the nizak grabs the money, right, he doesn't wait for Bezdin to paskin because Bezdin's not going to paskin for him. But then Rambam says, "Ein motzi miyado, tafas lo mafkina miyado." Okay. The Ravid here makes a very important comment. The Ravid says, "Omer Avram, lo mechavra li, the tfisa mahani baha." In my opinion, tfisa, meaning grabbing the object and changing the de facto status quo, does not help you in this kind of bayit loivshin. As we know, that in certain sfeikos and dine mamonis, tfisa will help you. Even where you normally paskin like the Rambam was paskining, motzi mechavero olav araya. But if you change the status quo, sometimes that'll help. That's the sugya we learned about Metzia a couple years ago, right? Perek Shnei Moksin. That's part of the famous sugya of Takva Kohen, right? In general, you know, when you say Motzu Mechver Levaraya, if the other person de facto changes the Muksakus, he grabs the object. Now the object, so, Sheval Taisa Adif. If he created a new Sheval Taisa, that's the issue. Tfisa helps it. But, says the Ravid, that's not going to work in Knossos. Lo Mechavali de Tfisa Mahani Baha. Here. Why? The kivan the yoser mimashi hizeku, since the amount that we're talking about goes beyond the quid pro quo, the amount of the damage that he inflicted, because he stole an object worth $100. We're talking about not the keren, right, which is mishtalim mirosho. We're talking about the kefel or the dalid, the hay. Right, which are multiples of the keren. That's yoser mimashi hizik. So then the Ravid says, "Ein koach lechayvo ela lebezdin." Only bezdin can be mechayiv. Ubedin pasuk is beautiful language of the Ravid. Ubedin pasuk below safek. It's got to be a psak, right, which is not at all connected to safek. It's got to be a decisive psak to be mechayevim. Here, since the problem is a suffek in din, it's a bayad de lo ifshita in the Gemara. Ech gomru as dino. In other words, a suffek when you need a vadai psak din is a vadai not vadai psak din, if one could say so. Okay. This is a very important statement of the Ravid, along the lines of what we've, you know, kind of been talking about, and that is the perspective that knossos are not just above and beyond the amount of the damage, but that knasos really constitute a chiyuv or mechayiv, right, rooted in psak bezdin. If the bezdin doesn't paskin absolutely with conviction that there's a chiyuv, then we don't treat this as a suffek moment. As you could have said, and the Rambam does think this is the case, obviously the Rambam disagrees with it. The Rambam says, listen, in theory, there's an abstract suffek out there. Like, let's just say, for argument's sake, there's a 50-50 suffek whether these cases in the Gemara are lakula or lachum. Right? The numbers don't matter to me. Let's assume that it's a bayad loyitshita, it's a suffek dina. Let's say, for the moment, it's a suffek hashakol. There's a 50% chance whether or not this ganef owes kefal dalad vehei, or he doesn't. So at the end of the day, what do you mean there's a vadai, not a psak bezdin? Bezdin's paskening that there's a 50% chance. So let tafas lo mafkinan operate. And the Rabbit is saying, even though there's a 50% suffek, since bezdin can't weigh in with 100% conviction, for knossos, there's no longer a 50% chiyuv, because the chiyuv is not just implemented or explicated by the bezdin, right? The chiyuv in knossos is generated by the bezdin. So bezdin can only generate when they have an absolute conviction. When there's 50%, they don't have a, you know, it's not a 50% psak, it's a zero psak. Okay, now that's not so obvious. It's a chiddush of the Rabbit. There's a double chiddush of the Rabbit here, if you will. Number one, that bezdin creates knossos. And number three, because of that, there's no such thing as a, abstract 50% psak of bezdin. Okay, you could argue with either of those assumptions, but these are the foundations of the Rabbit's position. But what's fascinating is that the Rabbit adds the words, the kivan de yoser mimashe hizik. What would the Rabbit say about a knas which is less than the amount? So is he just being a little bit inexact because most knasos are above and beyond, like kefel and dal vehei and so on and so forth? And that's certainly what the Rambam is talking about here in Hilchos Geneva. Or did the Rabbit mean here, subtly, to exclude knossos that are less than the amount of mishtal and mirosh? So there's another Rabbit. The Rabbit, I quote, the Bar Ilan program doesn't have the Chidusha Rabbit in Bava Kama, so I quoted from the Meiri quotes this Rabbit. The Rabbit, a few places in his Chidushim in Bava Kama, discusses the question whether or not Moda b'knas patur applies to chatzi nezek, that's tam, or not. So the Meiri quotes this controversial view of the Rabbit. I'm not going to go into details beyond this, but the Meiri says, Olinyan psak, this is line 8, Kosa Rava Meiri, Kaimalon Kamand Amar Palganiska Knasa, we paskin that chatzi nezek is knas, not mamon, ve'eno mishalim al piatzmo, l'may nafkamina, Moda b'knas is potter. If he comes to court and he says, you know what, my shor tam, gourd, etc. So moda b'knas is potter. He's potter. That's what the Meiri says. But then he says, v'harbe kosvu b'shem arayvid shechatzi nesek shor tam mishalem al piatzmo. There are many people who wrote in the name of the Ravid that even though chatzi nezek is knas, it's different from all other knasos, and you're mishaleim al piatzmo. The din of modeh b'knas potur doesn't apply to chatzi nezek. Hoil the karenu, because it isn't beyond the karen, it's within the karen. The eno domel l'shar knasos. And logically, you could totally understand this. In other words, if the idea is what is the source of a knas, then understandably, you would think that all Eina Mishtalim Miroshos, anything that's not Karen, is the same. And that's kind of what our Gemara was saying, even according to the Mandamar, Palganiska Mamona, actually. Okay. But if the question is not, what is the source of the Chiyuv, but what is the nature of the Chiyuv, then it is logical to make certain kind of distinctions. So one logical distinction is to say, anything beyond the quid pro quo amount, anything beyond the amount that you actually damage, we're not going to look as, tashlumen. We're going to look at it as a chiv knas. And as a chiv knas, moda b'knas is potter. But if you have a knas which is less than the amount, right? So we're saying, listen, the source for this may be knas, but you know, it's not as if the fellow has already gotten his compensation, and this is, you know, above and beyond. This is not lefnim mishuras hadin. He is out $100, so at least he's getting back 50, right? So let's that let 50. Let's treat it as mamon. The mechayim is knas, but the cheftza is mamon. In that sense, it's not yoser, even though it's not mamon hamishtalem mirosh. Then he goes on to point out that this raibit is very controversial. V'tamo olav misugya zu, v'hikshilam andam arknasam imasham rahim is shoro. People ask from that sugya in Bava Kama, daftesvav mebeis, v'cheinomer beperek dalad v'hei, itam have, v'have modina umifdarna, mikol mokom lakosav dover zeh miolam. He says, the raibit really didn't write this. V'heim tov benusach dvar. The truth is, there are three raibits in the parish of Bava Kama that seem to say something like this, although in different variations. Hard to just dismiss this as a tos. Umacha kosav hu shechatzi nezek bez din omer mlo lech v'shalem imhoda elashen kofen oso mashen kem b'ktsas knotzot she'en omer mlo shalem klal b'tof aslo mafkin emine. Avol shar knotzos kol shehoda motzin miyado af b'tofas kach kosav b'tshuvas she'ela. Says the Raibin, and the Tshuva writes that a little bit differently. Not that Moda B'Knas is not Potter, but that if he chooses to pay on his own, then we don't discourage him. And if the Nizak grabs the Dmei Knas, we will not confiscate it from him. Now, of course, that second halacha is exactly what the Raibin was talking about in Perik Beis, where he said that's the point. We don't allow that confiscation. In other words, we will confiscate. We wouldn't allow tfisa in a case of yoser. So it actually works perfectly if what he really meant to, you know, convey was, you know, chatzi nezek, although it's knas, and maybe even if you don't go so far as to say moda b'knas is chayiv, maybe moda b'knas is potur. But nonetheless, at least tafas lo mafkinan when it comes to chatzi nezek. Then he goes on to say, "Well, shar knasos kol shoda motzim yado af betafas kach kosa betshuvas sheela." That in regular knas, and that's of course consistent with what he writes in Hilchos Geneva, the apazuye shchok in lomar shein omrim lo shalem klal. And there are people who say even that's wrong, because as long as chatzi nezek is a knas, there's no. There's not even a l'chatchila to pay. There's a debate in general about knossos, whether there's a chi of lotzei sidei shamayim or not. The Rajva and the Gura and Bava Kama, the find out this famous case of a Tebi, you know, the Eved, you know, he knocked out his eye and he was so thrilled because now he could, you know, he could free him. So the Gemara tells the story that his colleague said to him, you know, not really, because you're the only person who knows that this happened, you know, and Moda B'Knas is Patur, at which point, you know, he was very, very upset, because, you know, he couldn't free him, and he knocked his eye out. So, it was like a double, you know, jeopardy, or whatever the proper terminology is, Tartal Reyusa. But on that Gemara, the Rajba, you know, in terms of the Rishonim and the Gra, in his Hagos on the daf there, Bava Kama says, apparently, you know, there's not even a chiv latzei sidei. You might have said, okay, the Moda B'Knas is potur, and you don't have to pay, you don't have to set him free. But obviously, he was so excited to set Tebi free, he wanted to set him free. So, you know, let there be a chiv latzei sidei shemayim, then there's a chalos shechur. Right. So, there are some Rishonim who disagree. But this is a general debate. I mean, I don't want to go into the whole issue of Knossos right now. But this is a big question in Knossos. To what extent we treat it, you know, as a fundamentally different kind of chiyuv than other chiyuve mamon, and one which is generated by Bezdin, and therefore you don't have Edim and you don't have Bezdin, you know, whether it's Moda B'Knas or lack of Edim, there's no Latze Sidei Shamayim either. And there's no tafas lo mafkinan, you know, in a case of safek, because like the Rebbe said in Perek Beis. You know, it has to be din pasuk b'li safek. If you really think that Bezdin is the author or the source of this chiyuv, then, you know, this can't operate just kame shmaya galya, or on the basis of his sense of responsibility. It's something where the objective requirements to trigger Bezdin's involvement and their capacity to generate the chiyuv is a necessity, and that's not just a nicety. Anyway, so this is part of a much bigger question, a much bigger topic. Okay, now let's move on to Bezdin Notev, the question of Knossos and Zelos. Very, very massive. We're not going to get into it more right now, maybe some other time. So the Gemara, and then the Gemara comments on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Dine Maminis is Bishlosha, Xenos V'chabalos is Bishlosha, Dine Knossos is Bishlosha. So the Gemara wants to know, Shlosha Minalan. Right? How do you know that you need three Dayani? So the Gemara says, the Tanra Banan, V'nikra Balabayis Elho Elohim. So the Balabayis, you know, comes Elho Elohim. Clearly, that's not meant, at least not only, or in terms of the pshat, primarily, it doesn't refer to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, although I argued in the very, you know, beginning of the year, in a Harkdama topic, that it's not a coincidence that a Dayan is called Elohim. It's a Lashon Srara. But beyond that, it's also a Lashon which, in other contexts, is also used in connection with the Rabbanu Shel Olam. And the idea that a Dayan is a representative or an ambassador, that he has the responsibility, and that's why Shechina, Shora, Imo, you know, his holy work, you know, and his presence is that of Elohim, is a very important idea. But either way, V'nikar Balabais, Elho Elohim refers to a Dayan Samach. Hare Kan Echad, that's one. Adho Elohim, Yavo Dvar Shnehem, Hare Kan Shnayim. Asher Yashion Elohim, that of course is the Makar for Velo Amar Shias Atzmo and Knossos that we talked about a few minutes ago. Hare Kan Shlosha, Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. So according to Rabbi Yoshia, there are three Elohims which establish the requirement in Dinei Maminos of three Dayanim. That's Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonasan Omer, Rishon Tchila Ne'amar. And what this means roughly is that the first Makar doesn't count. Because we need one to teach you just what the facts are. What are we talking about? The ones that are miutar, the ones that are superfluous, they're the ones that we are going to darshan. That's an interesting argument, whether darshan tchila or not. So Rabbi Yonasan said, Rishon tchila nemar. The first one is just to teach us the facts. The ein darshan tchilos. Ella, rather, ad halim yavar dvar shneim, the second one, are kan echad. Asher yashin aleim areikan shnayim. So how do you get three dayanim? This becomes important. The ein bezdin shakol, because we reject the notion of a balanced or an even numbered bezdin, and therefore mosif aleim odechad. You add one other dayan areikan shlosha, and therefore you have three dayanim. So, of course, what Rabbi Yonasan has introduced here is a very important idea. And that is the idea that a Bezdin has to have an odd number, right, to have the capacity to make decisions. Okay. So the Gemara says, Neva b'darshin tchilas kamiflagi. Is this argument to Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonasan an argument really rooted in Darshan Tchilos? The Marsava Darshan Tchilos, the Marsava ain't Darshan Tchilos. So the Gemara says, lo, the Kulama ain't Darshan Tchilos. Everybody agrees that ain't Darshan Tchilos. Amalach Rabbi Yoshia, im kain, neim akrav, and nikar balabayis el hashofet. It's a little bit of a strange Gemara. The pasuk could have said, v'nikar balabayis el hashofet, right? My elho Elohim, shma mina liminyana. Since it, just to establish that we're dealing with a Dayan, we could have said the word Shofet. The use of the word Elohim, which is a more exotic terminology, is intended Liminyan. That's normally he holds Ein Darshan Tchilos, but here this particular usage dictates that Darshan. Rabbi Yonasan, what does he say? Lishna di almanakit kadamrinshi mandis ledina likarev legabe dina. Whoever has a din should go to the dayan. This is a strange line in the Gemara because the whole point is that the Torah uses the expression Elohim and not just the normal expression that we would expect of dayan. But it sounds like what Rabbi Yonasan is saying is that these are interchangeable terms. And therefore, it's not particularly significant, and therefore, only the miutar, only the superfluous ones, are the ones that are going to be darshan. Yeah.
Shofet would imply smuchim.
Well, we're dealing with we do require smuchim.
No,
minat Torah.
The word shofet
would not.
Yeah, Elohim.
So you're saying it's even more problematic. Some of the Rishonim ask that question. That's a question, not an answer,
yeah,
right?
I'm
yeah, no, 100%. That's a good question. Very good question. Anyways, the Gemara says V'Rabbi Yoshia, Leis Lebezen Nota. So now we get into the body of our topic. Does Rabbi Yoshia, who requires Elohim, 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 to teach you three Dayanim, as opposed to Rabbi Yonasan, who has two, and you know gets an assist from the principle of Bezdin Nota? So Rabbi Yoshia doesn't believe that there's a requirement of Bezdin Nota, meaning. It's true that Rabbi Yoshia requires three dayanim, an odd number of dayanim, but is that just a coincidence? Or is it because he, too, thinks that in principle you always have to have an odd number, you know, so you can have this capacity for decisive judgment? It sounds like the fact that he needs three dayanim means that he doesn't believe in the principle of Bez Note per se. How could that be? Vatanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Osher, Rabbi Yosef Aguli Omer, Ma Talmud Lomar Lintos Acher Rabim Lahatos. What does the Torah mean when it says, right, in the Psukim, Lintos, to tilt, right, Acher Rabim Lahatos? It could have said, Laleches Acher Rabim Lahatos, something like that. HaTorah Amra Aseh Lecha Bezdin Notem. You should have a tilting Bezdin. You should have a configuration, right, which structures in the, you know, the netia, the capacity, you know, to make a decision. So what do we see? That the requirement of the Bezdin Noteh is already implied in Psukim. So if that's true, how could Rabbi Yoshia, you know, deny this factor? Why does he require three Elohims? It should be enough to have two Elohims, and then just, you know, apply the rule of Bezdin Noteh. So the Gemara says, Savala Karabi Yehuda, the Amar Shivim. In the Mishnah, the Tanan, Sanhedrin Gedolah Shol Shivim Yachad, Rabbi Omer, Shivim, in the Mishnah, the Beis Amid Aleph, as we read, the Mishnah goes through the configurations of all the different types of Bate Dinim, right? You have the threes, you have some fives, mostly threes, but then you have 23, then you have 70 or 71. And the Mishnah there records a debate whether the Sanhedrin Gedola was 71, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, it was 70. According to Rabbi Yehuda, 70 is an even, of course, if it's 70 and that's an even number, the implication is that you do not need a Bezdin Noteh. So maybe Rabbi Yoshia holds with Rabbi Yehuda that there's no requirement of Bezdin Noteh. So the Gemara says, Amen, Desham, the same Rabbi Yehuda, the Sanhedrin Gedola. Maybe even Rabbi Yehuda only doesn't require Bezdin Noteh in the case of Sanhedrin Gedola. Dichsivi Kroy, right? Where the Psukim themselves imply that the requirement is for Shivim, right? Shivimish. But Pshar Beidina, Mishamaslei. But when it comes to other Bate Dinim, like Bezin of Dinim Nefashos, Bezin of Dinim Amunus, maybe even Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that you require a Bezin Note. Oh. So here, just to make a quick comment, we did spend some time in the first couple of topics talking about the special role of Bezin Hagadol. Right? One of the things that we noted is the language of the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, where the Rambam says that there are overlapping, I would argue overlapping, but connected role, multiple roles of Bez Nagadol. Bez Nagadol is the Ikar repository of Torah Shebal Peh. Bez Nagadol is the court of last appeal or final appeal. Bez Nagadol is the ultimate legislative body for Klal Yisrael, right? We talked about the difference between American checks and balances and so on, division of government. In that context, then the Rambam goes on to say, whoever is a fan of Moshe Rabbeinu, has to give his full enthusiastic support to the Bezen Hagadol, very important principle. Either way, we spent some time in the beginning of the year discussing these different functions and trying to explain that Bezen Hagadol, in certain contexts, Kiddush HaKodesh, as the Rav explained, Minui, Kohen Gadol, according to Revelvel, and possibly Hoshavas, Sanhedros, Lishvatim, and Layaros, according to the way we were explaining, possibly connected to the debate between Rashi and the Yad Rabbah, right? We noted that the Chinuch says that the mitzvah to appoint a local Sanhedrin is mutal al tzibur, even though the Mishnah seems to say that the function is the function of Bezen HaGadol. So the point is that Bezen HaGadol is a different kind of a body. So is it a coincidence, given its multiple functions, its different status, its status as the repository of Mesorah and of Chachmei Yisrael in a collective way, that Dafka of all Batei Dinim, the one Bezen that doesn't require a Bezden Nota, is the one which is patterned after Shivim Skenim, the Bezen HaGadol. And indeed, even though we paskin that the Bezen HaGadol does have 71, that's because of kind of Moshe al Gabeim, and then there's Machlokas HaRishonim, whether that's the parallel for a Mufla. We talked about this again earlier in the year, Tosfos on Tezayin Amud Beis, and the Netziv. Why should there be a silent Mufla Dafka in Bezen HaGadol? That's Tosfos' view, and maybe not in Sanhedrin Katana, or anything else, partly what the Netziv is bothered by. So what I'd like to suggest, very, very briefly, is the idea that, again, when it comes to decision-making in particular cases, Bezen Shel Gimel, Bezen Shel Chaf Gimel, the requirement of Bezden Noteh, of a decisive Bezden, one that has an odd number that is conducive to this kind of decision-making, is very critical. Because it's really the, with all the distinctions, and we'll talk about them as we move through some of the topics going forward, with all the distinctions between Mamanus and Nefashos, or different types of Mamanus, in the end of the day, we're still talking about Dinei Torah, concrete Dinei Torah, that need to be determined, decided, the Balei Dinim who are appearing in front of these Batei Dinim, and their fate rests on the decision-making of these Dayanim. However, the nature of Bezen HaGadol is different. Bezen HaGadol, even when it deals with a particular person's status, is really fundamentally, right, addressing the halacha. And it's addressing the halacha not just for these people standing in front of it, or even for this day and age necessarily, but l'dore doros. In a way, it's the job of the Dayanim, right, to be decisive, in Mamanus and in Nefashos. And in the case of Bezden HaGadol, it's really the job of the Dayanim and of the Bezden to explore, and possibly, therefore, much more in a consensus way, the range of options, and then of course to come to a conclusion as well. But it's a different kind of a conclusion, and perhaps it requires a different focus and a different methodology too. So what I'm trying to suggest is, for this reason, the role in the case of 71, of the Av Beis Din, or the Rosh HaYeshiva, whatever you want to call him, is different. He's more of a coordinator and a, an arbiter in one sense, but not just a regular voting member, according to the Baalei Tosfos. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, there aren't 71, there are 70. And it's an even numbered to Beis Din Shokol, because it's about the determination of the halacha, not the decision between Baalei Dinim in a particular case. Either way, I think there's a lot to say about that. Again, it's probably not a coincidence that when it comes to things like Par Halom Davar Shel Tzibur and so on, that there's even the possibility of requiring Kulam or Rubo Kekulam for very similar reasons. When you're representing the total interests of Klal Yisrael, and your job is not merely to make a decision about Baalei Dinim standing in front of you, but as I say, about a longer term and greater different stakes, so then it's the number Shivim, which represents like the full range of Shivim Lashon, right? Ba'er Hetev, that full range becomes the focus, rather than the decisiveness. You have to be decisive too, but it's a decisiveness based, as I say, on the consensus, not so much on the competition. In any case, the Gemara goes on to say that maybe there is a special din, in Beis Din Shel Shivim, but that certainly doesn't preclude Beis Din Noteh for Rabbi Yehuda in other cases. So to see Rabbi Yehuda in Beis Din Shel Shivim as the source for Rabbi Yoshia, that there's no requirement to Beis Din Noteh, doesn't seem to make sense. Moreover, says the Gemara, the Chitema Lo Shana, and if you want to say that there's no difference between Beis Din Shel Shivim and anything else, and that indeed Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yehuda, let's say, believes that there's no din of Beis Din Noteh in general, that doesn't seem to be the case. Hatnan, we learned in the Mishnah that Smichas Kenim Barifas Egla Bishlosha, Divrei Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda himself says, B'chamisha. Chamisha, five is just as odd a number as three, right? I don't mean that it's an odd number. I mean it's an odd number. V'aminan, my Tamid Rabbi Yehuda. There, the Samchu Shnayim, Samchu's plural, that's two. Ziknei Shnayim, Dein Bezen Shokom, Osifin Aleim, Odechad, Harekan, Chamisha. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda indeed only denies the requirement of Beis Din Noteh in Beis Din HaGadol. And I was trying to explain why that should be, not just Gzeiras HaKasuv, but there are good reasons to think that Beis Din HaGadol operates in a very different way. Oh. So the Gemara says, D'Rav Yoshia Adifa M'Rav Yehuda. D'Ilu Rav Yehuda B'Sanhedrin Gedola Hu D'Lei Slei HaBishar Beidina is slave. Rav Yoshia B'Shar Beidina Nami Lei Slei. The Gemara says, okay, very good. We can still invoke Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Yehuda demonstrates that it's possible to have a Beis Din which is Shokol and not Noteh. It's true that Rabbi Yehuda thought that this phenomenon was limited to Beis Din HaGadol and did not extend to other Batei Dinim. And we see that by Smichas Kenim and Chalitza and so on, Arifas Egla, etc. But it's still a good enough paradigm. Rabbi Yoshi goes further than Rabbi Yehuda. He says, you know what? There's no din of Beis Din Noteh anywhere. You need three in Dine Mamanis. Yeah, that's why I need to document Elohim, Elohim, Elohim to establish the three. Okay. So then the Gemara says, okay, but if that's true, that Rabbi Yoshi doesn't believe in Beis Din Noteh ever, and then whenever he has an odd numbered Beis Din, it's always based on the merits of the Makar. It's always because the Makar proves that that's the right number, not because it's a Din Beis Din Noteh, Elohai Lintos, Mayavidle. So what does he do with the fact that the Torah uses the expression, not just Holechachar HaRabin, but Lintos, implying that there's a concept of a Beis Din Noteh? So interestingly, the Gemara says, Mukim Lei, B'dinei Nefashos, Avodini Mamanis, lo. He will perhaps suggest that when it comes to Dine Nefashos, there's a requirement of Bezdin Noteh. And that's where we have that expression, right? Achrei Rabim Lahatos, right? Avodini Mamanis, lo. So just as I was laboring, not, I don't think so hard, but I was trying to at least to convey before that, you know, the difference between Bezdin HaGadol, let's say, and other Batadinim, if Bezdin HaGadol is unique in allowing a Bezdin Shakol, it might highlight the nature of Bezdin HaGadol and why in general its function and differences, you know, are very acute between it and other Batadinim. Similarly, the Gemara's suggestion here, which is to differentiate between Dine Mamanis and Dine Nefashos, is very worth examining. The Gemara is basically saying, when it comes to Dine Nefashos, there is a requirement of Bezdin Noteh, but not in Dine Mamanis. Okay, very interesting. Now, it could be that this has to do with the fact that Dine Mamanis, you know, the stakes are not as great, the results are not as irrevocable, right? It's only money. Money is reversible. Possibly. The very same reason, for example, why we're, you know, insistent on having a two-man majority lechova and nefashos, as opposed to mamonos, right? And why we have other dinim, like, you know, v'shaftu eidu v'tzilu eidu, v'naki v'tzadik al tarog. Right, there are numerous dinim where, you know, we're machmir and nefashos over mamanis. So maybe this is a function of that, or perhaps it has to do with the fact that in dinim mamanis, there's no nidon. Right, there's a winner and there's a loser. So in a way, you know, one man's a zakai is another man's. Chayiv. We still speak about zakai and chayiv. We speak about, you know, the, you know, the motzim mechaver levaraya. You know, the, you know, the baldavar and the nidon. But in a certain sense, this is a big issue in discussing the relationship between dinei mamonos and dinei nefashos. This is a big issue throughout. That we find that many rishonim point out here and there that dinei mamonos, there are two bali dinim. And therefore, there's a winner and a loser, but there's always a winner and a loser. In Dina Nefashos, right, everything focuses on that one nido. And perhaps that has to do with the capacity, right, to determine decisively that fate. Moreover, something that overlaps, ironically, to something we talked about in Bezdin HaGadol, but in a way that, you know, hierarchically, you wouldn't think it would. The Rav once pointed out, we'll talk more about this, you know, when we get to some of the evidence, that there's maybe a fundamental difference between Dine Mamanis and Dine Nefashos, the Bate Dinim, and how they operate. I'm sure I mentioned this earlier in the year already. And that is in the following way. In the case of Dine Mamanis, at least the Maso Matan, it could be argued, is abstract. It's like a Beis Medrash discussion. When it comes finally to the application, you're certainly applying it to Reuven and to Shimon, but as I said before, even in applying it to Reuven and Shimon, you know, it's Reuven's the winner, Shimon's the loser, you know, Reuven's the loser, Shimon's the winner. So, you know, it's a whole different, in addition to the stakes being different, in addition to the fact that it is reversible, right, the whole orientation is different, and there's good reason to think that the first phase of the din is basically an abstract discussion about what the law theoretically is, using the practical case as a case, just like we're learning Gemara, and there's a certain case that we're discussing. You know, so those are the particulars, and we're really examining what the law is. However, when it comes to Dine Nefashos, precisely because everything revolves around one individual, and the fate of this individual is not mamanous and it's not reversible. It's so consequential, right? It's so weighty that even the Maso Matan is about Shimon. Right? Now, of course, it doesn't mean that we do not invoke, you know, general concepts and categories. I mean, there is, of course, an abstract part of the discussion, you know, examining the facts and then applying the law and debating about, you know, the, you know, fine points of the law when it isn't obvious in a particular case. I don't mean to say that, you know, it's transparent that this difference, you know, applies. What I'm saying is that conceptually, there's nothing about a Dine Nefashos case, right, that we perceive as being abstract. Every aspect of it is concretely connected to the Nida. That's what the Rav once suggested in a different context. And if that is the case, then perhaps once again, we can appreciate this line in the Gemara, where the Gemara says that maybe the phrase, you know, Achrei Rabim Lahatos, which implies that there's a din in Beis Din, Nota, right, that you need a decisive, odd-numbered Beis Din, maybe that's Dafkan Dine Nefashos, but it doesn't apply in Dine Mominus, even according to Rabbi Yosha. Anyways, then the Gemara says, Alahod Etnan, Shnayim Omrim Zakai Echad Omer Chayiv, Zakai. Shnayim Omrim Chayiv Echad Omer Zakai, Chayiv, Neymar Delo K'Rabbi Yosha. So this is very fascinating. All of a sudden, the Gemara says, well, if you don't think there's a din of Beis Din Noteh in Dine Mominus according to Rabbi Yosha, this whole discussion is in Rabbi Yosha, right? If you don't think there's a din of Achrei Rabim Lahato, I'm sorry, a Beis Din Noteh, so maybe there's no din of Achrei Rabim Lahatos either, right? Maybe you should require a unanimous decision in a Beis Din of Dine Mominus. How do you know that two, you know, trumps one? Right? You only know it because Achrei Rabim Lahatos. But if Achrei Rabim Lahatos is a concept which is limited to Dine Nefashos, how do you know it in Dine Mominus? So the Gemara says, Afilu Tema Rabbi Yosha, Maisule, Bekavachomer Medine Nefashos, Ma Dine Nefashos de Chamiri, Omer Achman Zilbasa Ruba, Dine Mominus, like Kol Shekain. The Gemara says, listen, that you go by majority decision, that we learn from a Kavachomer, Minefashos, Inochanami, the Parsha, Achram Lahatos, which is written in the context of Nefashos, is limited to Nefashos in one respect, and with regard to Pashtus of the Gemara, Beis Din Noteh. However, majority rule, that's a Kal v'chomer. Even in Dine Nefashos, where we're so protective of the Nidon, because it's only him. There's only a loser here. There's no winner. Right? Again, Mominus is always a winner and a loser. It's just the question, which one? Moreover, as we said a second ago, in Dine Mominus, everything is about just money. That's Kal. It's reversible. That's Kal. But in Dine Nefashos, you have to be much more careful. And yet we go by rove. We don't demand a unanimous decision of the Dayanim. So in Dine Mominus, you're going to require a unanimous decision? Doesn't make sense. Therefore, Kal v'chomer, there is such a thing. Now, the simple pshat of the end of the Gemara is that the Gemara then ends up at the following point. Rabbi Yosha believes in rove in Dine Mominus, but he doesn't believe that there's a concept in Beis Din of Dine Mominus of Beis Din Nota. He requires three, but that's because he has Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. But there's no principle of Beis Din Nota. What about Achrei Rabim Lahatos? That we learn Kal v'chomer Midine Nefashos. Okay. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. That's how the Gemara was understood according to almost all the Rishon. Rabbeinu Chananel, interestingly enough, did not read the Maskan of the Gemara that way. Apparently, Rabbeinu Chananel read the Gemara like this. The Gemara says, right, you know, till the last moment, the Gemara says, but if you hold that Achrei Rabim Lahatos, which also includes Beis Din Noteh, is in Dine Nefashos, right? So how do you know that in Dine Mominus you don't need a unanimous decision of all of the Dayanim? In other words, the Gemara links, right, Beis Din Noteh and Achrei Rabim Lahatos as being interconnected, same pasuk, right? It's a package deal. You take one, you take the other, you drop one, you don't have evidence for the other either. Right? So then, what did the Gemara say? The Gemara says, no, it's a kal v'chomer. We learn it out from the Fashos. So apparently the way that Rabbi Hananel read the Gemara was, it's true that Rabbi Yoshia, right, doesn't know Bezdin Nota per se in Dine Mamanis, and that's why he needs Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. But since he learns kal v'chomer, achrei rabim lahatos, that Rov Dayanim work in Dine Mamanis, so Hu Adin Lahalacha, he also believes in Bezin Nota, even in Dine Mamanis. You just wouldn't know it, right, per se, from the word Nota. You learn it from Kal V'chomer. If Bezin in the Fashos works with Rov and also requires a Bezin Nota, so too Hu Adin B'Dine Mamanis. Okay. That's a very remarkable, very difficult reading. Where do I get that from? Let's make sure that I didn't make it up. So look at Rabbeinu Hananel on the side here. One second. Oh, if you see where the lines get wider in the Gemara, go to the third line, and you'll see in the Rebbeinu Hananel across from that. It says, V'asikna afilu Rabbi Yoshia by Bezdin Nota. Everybody have that? Miu maisila mekal v'chomer medina nefashos. Ma dina nefashos techamiri amrachmana zil basaruba dini mamanis dekilu lo kol shekein. A very strange Rebbeinu Hananel. Because that's what the Gemara says to explain, how do we know that you need, how do you know that you can, that it's sufficient to have majority dayanim? The Gemara doesn't say that explicitly, that that's the source, that Rabbi Yoshia ends up agreeing that there's a requirement of Bezin Nota and Mamanas. But Rabbeinu Hananel thinks that the Gemara didn't say, that's again, the simple pshat of our Gemara is the Gemara thought, you have one makar, which teaches you two things. Number one, it teaches you a majority decision. Number two, it teaches you the configuration which has the capacity for majority, namely, Bezdin Nota. And the Gemara said, well, if you're distinguishing Mamanus and Nefashos, you should distinguish in both. And then the Gemara's answer was, no. When it comes to the decision-making, there's a Kal V'chomer from Nefashos to Mamanus. But what is Rabbi Yoshia's final view about Bezin Nota in Dini Mamanus? He doesn't require it. Whereas Rabbi Hananel apparently thinks that it's not just one pasuk, but somehow there's a linkage between the dinim of structure of Bezdin, configuration of Bezdin, a Bezdin Nota with the capacity for Rov, and the din of Rov itself, and that you can't hold the din of Rov unless you also think that there's a requirement of Bezdin Nota. That's a very big chiddush. And the question is, where does it come from? Okay, yeah.
Also, how does it work with the... why does Rabbi Yoshia need three sukkim then?
So the answer is, it's almost... again, Rabbi Hananel doesn't tell us. Yeah. 100% correct. But I think that the point is that, for Rabbi Hananel, I think the way he would interpret Rabbi Yoshia would be, Rabbi Yoshia doesn't think that Bezdin Nota is a Dine Mamanus requirement per se. Right? But once we learn Rov from the Fashos, Mimela, we also know that Bezin Nota applies to Dine Mamanus. So we have the three, because that's how we really know, the number of Dayanim. But in the end of the day, once we, have to derive Acher Rab Lahatos from the Fashos to Mamanus anyway, so part of that package is Bezin Nota in Mamanus too. But it isn't strong enough, in other words, that, without Elohim, 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 we would be certain about what the numbers are. Yeah?
If you would have to have limiting, on the...
Have to have what?
You have to have all three. You couldn't have to, a rope. The rope wouldn't work. You'll have them,
Right, unanimous.
You have to have,
Unanimity.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. Not anonymity, but unanimity.
I agree with this point. I said, why would it be two is sufficient? Why does the Torah have to tell you three dayonim and the habamita? Why three? Well, what advantage do you have in three if you need unanimity? So two would have been sufficient.
I'm not following.
Three doesn't add anything because everybody has to agree. So then why don't you just say two is sufficient?
Why, but let's say maybe you really need all three.
Two say yes and one says no.
Oh, so you're making a big assumption, but about how many Dayanim really are deciding in the case.
Yeah.
So, you know, since you mentioned it, we'll just really read the next Gemara very quickly, and I'll tell you what I think Rabbeinu Chananel means, which is connected to what you're saying. But Tan Rabbanan, let's just read the next couple of lines quickly. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Dinei Mamanis B'Shlosha. Right? So far, so good. Dinei Mamanis, three Dayanim. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Omer, B'Chamisha. Wow, did you ever hear that before? Rebbe, Vaughn. No less than Rebbe. Rebbe says you need five Dayanim. Kedei, Sheyigmar Din, B'Shlosha. Because in order for the Gemar Din, if you've based on majority rule, right? So sometimes, you know, so where are your three Dayanim? Right? Rebbe is against what you just asked. The question is whether the Chachamim are for what you asked or not. That Rebbe's against is clear. That's because Rebbe's saying you need three Dayanim. If you need, Rebbe's making two assumptions. For Dinei Mamanis, you need three Dayanim, right? And that Dayanim are defined by the decisive ones during Gemar Din. That's the two assumptions. The question is, when we don't pass like Rebbe.
I'm just saying the Habavina.
No, yeah, I'm just
saying. I mean, it says that you don't need a rogue, that rogue isn't going to help you. You have to have all three.
Right.
Make a decision.
Well, for Rabbi Yoshia, it's actually quite.
Two would have been sufficient. To reach that judgment.
So I'm just trying to show you that the discussion between Rebbe and the Chachamim, in a way, is touching on your question. Your question really is, we paskin that you need three Dayanim. And we also paskin that Rove works.
Right.
Now the question is, if that's true, how many Dayanim are really responsible for the Psak Din? Two or three? And that's going to be the big issue that we're... I'm going to relate that to Bez and Dota in just a second, but that's exactly... You're putting your finger on something correct. I'm just telling you that you're putting your finger on it, but it's not at all, by any means, clearly simple in any direction, as we'll soon see. So that's, in a way, this will finish since I started reading it, that's part of the discussion of Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe was saying, basically, that the decisive Dayanim and the minimum Dayanim are defined by the ones who cast the winning votes in the Gemar Din. And therefore, if you require really three, right, then you have to start off with five. Okay. But clearly, according to Rebbe, when you have three against two, basically the three are the Dayanim, you know, who are important, and the two are just, you know, they're outvoted. So they, you know, they belong in a historical footnote, you know, in the Din Torah, but, you know, not much beyond that. Okay, they didn't do any of the heavy lifting. So the Gemara says, Atu b'tlasa milo gamar dina betray? Why can't it be three and the Gemar Din will be with two? Right? So the Gemara says, Hachikam, this is what we mean. Mipnei she Gemar Din b'shlosha. Right? Because the Gemar Din is going to be b'shlosha, so that's why you need five. Alma kasavar tlasa ki ksivi, the Gemar Dina ksivi. The three, right? Elohim, 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 let's say, are defined by the ultimate decision, the Gemar Din. So the Megadif Be Rabavo Elamiata Te Sanhedri Gedola Tzricha Mea V'Arba'im. Right. So do you need 140 in order to get 71? Right. Mea V'Arba'im B'Yachad. Sorry, 141. Kadesha Yigmar Din B'Shivim B'Yachad. Ute Sanhedri Katana Tzricha Arba'im. The Chamisha, 45, Kadesh Yigmar Din B'Shlosha, the Esrim, Ella, Esfali, Shivimi, Shamrachmana, Mishas Asifa Shivim. When the Torah says Esfali Shivimish, it doesn't refer to, you know, the slim majority that can make the ultimate decision. It refers to the team, right, that hears the case, you know, that sits in order to, that adjudicates here. And similarly, v'shafto edu v'tzilo eda, which the Mishnah says means 10 and 10, and then you have the, you know, the capacity for majority. So that ends up being the source for 23. Nami mishas shvita sa'eda. So hachanami v'nikar balabayis Elohim mishas kreva shlosha. Right? So what's going on with the Shaka Vatari? Very interesting. Like, is it a technical argument whether or not the amount of dayanim refer to the Shas Asifa, I mean to the Maso Matan, to the beginning of the din, or to the end of the din, or the decision making? Or is it something more basic, even than that? Not just a question of whether the numbers refer to phase one or phase two, whether they refer to, you know, the total pool, or the winning team, right? There's something bigger going on here. What's the bigger thing going on here? So let me explain what I mean by Rabbeinu Hananel for a second. So let's just take a step back for a moment. The requirement of Bez Denote, right, for Rabbi Yonasan, and according to Rabbeinu Hananel LaHalacha, Rabbi Yoshi also agrees. Right, this requirement of Bez Denote, which the Gemara says, you know, maybe doesn't apply only in Bez Nagadol, or maybe doesn't apply only in Bezin Shel Gimel. There are different days in the Gemara where to draw the line. All very fascinating, right? Oh. This requirement of Bezin Nota can be understood in one of two or three ways. Right? One is that it's a technical requirement. You know, for very pragmatic reasons, it's not a coincidence that it comes from the Pasuk, Achrei Rabim Lahatos. Okay, so the language of being noteh, a tilting bezdin, right, instead of is implied there. But what you could explain is that it's not a coincidence, but that the connection is a very practical connection. Namely, the Torah says that majority rules, you don't need a unanimous decision, right? And therefore, it's not mukhrach to say this, but it is very, very appealing to say it. You should have a Bezdin, the configuration of which is conducive for having a majority. In other words, if I can have a Bezdin Shakul, it doesn't mean I'll never have Rov, or that I need a unanimous decision. That's true. But it does mean that the structure of the Bezdin does not guarantee, right, the ability to decide based on majority. So since the Torah says majority rule, implied in that by the word noteh, tilting, is that not only does majority rule, but you should have a kind of bezin which is conducive to majority rule, namely an odd-numbered bezin. But there's no din per se that you need a bezin noteh. It's an efficiency thing, meaning, you know, so that we shouldn't have to go back to the well and add dayanim. Now, again, let's be clear, because we're going to discuss this more fully. A dayan, there are cases where you have to add dayan. A dayan says, any odeya, the Mishnah says, mosif and aleim dayan. We have to explain why that is so, why is any odeya worse than voting against. Fine, we'll get into all that. So there is the contingency of adding to the dayan. But the idea that a dayan doesn't do his job, or you know, here and there, there'll be one who says, any odeya, and therefore you have to go back to the pool, that's different than Meirosh, right? The question of picking a number of Dayanim, likely of which is conducive to be making these decisions, right? So one way to look at the Din of Bezin Nota is to say, you know what? Achrei Rabim Lahatos, and you should have a Bezin, which affords that, you know, which sponsors that kind of a conclusion. That's one possibility. Excuse me, one more second. Or, maybe it's more than that. Maybe the Hagdara of Bezdin requires Bezdin Nota. And maybe that's so because part of being a Bezdin is the capacity to be self-sufficient And to be decisive, if you don't have that ability built in, it's a chisaron in chafsa shel bezdin. In other words, it's not just that here and there, in whatever the percentage is, in 30% of the cases, you know, you're going to have to, you know, make adjustments, and why should we bother? Let's be efficient meirosh. It's more than that. A bezdin that doesn't have the built-in capacity, right, of rove is not a decisive enough or a self-sufficient enough bezdin. Let me take it one step further. Maybe this has to do not just with the capacity for self-sufficiency or decisiveness in bezdin as a tnai or a hagdara in what a bezdin is. Maybe it's even more than that. Maybe it's a way of accentuating that bezdin is not just a group of individual dayanim, whether it's 3 or 23 or 70 or 71 or 5, whatever it is, but that bezdin is a unit. Maybe part of what makes bezdin a unit is its capacity for self-sufficiency and internal decisive determination, decision-making. That's exactly what dictates that we're dealing with a unit rather than individuals. And if that's the case, then if the din of bezdin noteh is not just an efficiency and a lechatchila, right? So maybe it's a din of chafsa shel bezdin, maybe even in cases where there is no decision being made. Maybe it's a hagdara in bezdin itself. And maybe it's connected to other issues which would basically be dependent upon bezdin as a unit as opposed to bezdin as individuals. So we're going to stop in 30 more seconds, but first I want to take your question, then I want to tell you what I think Rabbeinu Hananel means, and then we'll pick up with this next time. Yeah.
So according to the first understanding, how would that work with the bezdin, shel esrim, shel shalosh? Because if there we need a majority of two people, majorities, then it's already, you're already decisive, right? So why would you need the odd number?
So,
if the 22 would be enough, because you still need 12 to 10.
Right. I mean, you could still have. But you could still have a deadlock in bezin shel and fashos.
So then, yeah,
if you had a bezin shakol.
Yeah, but even if you also had a bezin, you know, 23.
Okay. That's fair. So that obviously the, you know, that is not the only consideration, and that is overridden by having a stronger majority. You know, for Yitzilo Eda, given the stakes, and that's kind of what the Gemara does speak about that on Daf Hey. But it doesn't disprove this idea. It just means that it isn't the only idea. There's also, you know, the protection of the Nidon from an irrevocable, you know, terrible fate. But we'll get back to that. Okay. So let me just end with this point, and that is as follows: Rabbeinu Hananel said that Rabbeinu Yeshaya, in the end of the day, believes in Bezin Nota and Dini Mamanus too. It's very difficult in the Gemara. Right? So, obviously, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, the majority rule itself is connected to the requirement of Bezin Nota. It's like, all the Gemara really said was that you don't need a unanimous decision of Dini Mamanus. Call the Chomer from Dini Nefasho, so you can go by the majority. How did Rabbeinu Hananel get from there to say, oh, so I guess based on the Kal V'chomer, even a Dini Mamanus is a Din of Bezin Noteh? Ah. So what we're going to try to show is, this is Rab Chaim Sahara, but I'll explain where it comes from next time, is that maybe the ability to say majority rule itself is a function of seeing the total Bezdin as a unit, the consensus of which has come to a certain conclusion. When Bezdin votes, whether it's 2-1 in Dine Mamanis or some other number in Dine Nefashos or in Sanhedrin Gedola, how do we look at it? Do we really say that, and I think that's why, my speculation, the next Gemara is the Gemara of Rebbe and the Chachamim, right? Do we really look at it and say, you know, the two judges, you need two judges, you need three in order to make sure that you have two. Or according to Rebbe, you need five because you need three. But it's not the five, it's the three. Or it's not the three, it's the two. Or is that really not correct? And what really happens when you say majority rule is not that the majority are the Dayanim and the other two are thrown out. But on the contrary, you have three Dayanim, right, who put their heads together, you know, also competitively, and who reach a consensus decision. The consensus is a result of the totality of the deliberation. In which case, majority rule itself is a reflection of the unit of Bezin. Bezin isn't made up of individual Dayanim. Bezin is a closed unit. So maybe that's the Pshat Rabbeinu Chanan now. If indeed we go by Rove, I'll illustrate this next time more, then there's a Din of Bezin Nota too, because it's the same issue. It's the independence, it's the decisiveness, it's the unit aspect of Bezin. So what we're going to try to discuss next week is this idea, but also, do you need a Bezin Nota in Shuma? Do you need a Bezin Nota in Chalitza? Do you need a Bezin Nota in Kiddush HaChodesh? So save the Makoros for next week.